Hey there, everybody. Welcome back to The Kickoff, brought to you by Tick Pick. I'm your host, Dan Harris. With me is my producer and Magic 8-Ball therapist, Brendan Tuma. The Wednesday morning edition of The Kickoff, which means it's time to talk some rest of season rankings, risers, and fallers. But first, let's talk about Tick Pick, which is the original no-fee ticket site. They have teamed up with Zip, the buy now, pay later service provider, to give away 5 season ticket packages for the 2022 NFL season. You must know this by now. I say this like every other day. And again, they're doing the drawing today as I record this late at night on November 30th. So I'll probably have a name for you guys tomorrow, but it's so easy to enter. Just go to tickpick.com/pros. That's it. TICKPICK.com/pros. Even if you're not the winner this month, they're going to do more drawings until February to give a lucky winner 2022 season tickets to their favorite NFL team. Each package valued at $3,000. Again, tickpick.com/pros, TICKPICK.com/pros. All right, the news items from yesterday. Daniel Jones is week to week with a neck strain suffered in week 12, and Mike Glennon is expected to start in week 13 against the Dolphins. So look, this is bad news, of course, for all the Giants skill players, although really none of them was particularly impressive. Anyway, you're still going to start Saquon Barkley, but that's pretty much it at this point. And certainly if you can get in early on the Dolphins spread, that's probably a good idea. Jerry Jones says that Zeke will have a serious load against the Saints on Thursday. And again, Ezekiel Elliott practiced in full for the second consecutive day, as does CeeDee Lamb. So both are going to play. And again, serious load. I don't know what that means at this point. And he has looked hobbled for a while, but whatever. It's a tough run defense, but you're starting Zeke at this point. Also, the Cowboys fully expect Amari Cooper to play against the Saints, but he is still feeling under the weather. So whether or not he's going to be at 100% remains to be seen. But for now, tread lightly here with Cooper. Meanwhile, Alvin Kamara remains limited while Mark Ingram practiced in full and declared himself good to go. Sean Payton, meanwhile, said, quote, "We'll see when asked about who his starting quarterback will be. This strikes me as something where they're just being careful with Taysom Hill's health and his foot. And assuming that he does continue to make it through practice, which he has so far this week, that he will be the starter come Thursday." The Steelers placed Pat Freiermuth in the concussion protocol. So again, wait and see here. ESPN reports that there is, quote, "hope that Sterling Shepard is going to return in week 13. Again, a little less exciting with Mike Glennon at quarterback, but he is a guy who, when Daniel Jones is there at the very least, can be started pretty much weekly as a wide receiver 3. The Jaguars placed Dan Arnold on injured reserve. No surprise here since he was expected to miss 4 to 6 weeks. And Jennifer Lee Chan of NBC Sports writes that Kyle Shanahan has been resistant to rotating quarterbacks because it, quote, "stunts his in-game play calling. Trey Lance has one touch since week 6. But really, I don't think that anybody can complain about this with the 49ers playing good football right now and winning. So I know we all advocated for holding Lance early on in the season because he could be a league winner later on, but just doesn't appear like it's going to happen at this point. And really, with the way the Niners are playing, I don't think it should. All right, let's get to some rest of season risers and fallers. Start with running backs and guys who are risers. There are a lot of movers this week at the running back position. Start with Leonard Fournette, who moves from RB15 to RB8. I talked about it on Monday, my mea culpa to the Twitter follower who asked me about why Fournette was a little lower than the top tier guys. And again, I said I was concerned about the schedule. I was concerned Ronald Jones would start to get a little more involved, but you just can't ignore that game against the Colts or his absolutely ridiculous target volume. I mean, 23 in the past 3 weeks alone. The schedule is not great after Atlanta, the Bills, the Saints, the Panthers, before finishing up with the Jets, which is great. But A, we have had a lot of injuries in front of him, which we're going to talk about in a minute. And B, he just showed how matchup proof he is. And we talked about the targets, right? 3 running backs have more targets than Leonard Fournette. DeAndre Swift, Najee Harris, and Austin Eckler. That's it. He has 12 red zone targets behind only Austin Eckler's 13. He's just incredibly safe. I was wrong. They have him a tier below the elite. So error corrected. Another running back moving up is Elijah Mitchell, who goes from RB18 to RB10. Remember all of those, oh my goodness, I can't believe I blew all my fab on Elijah Mitchell tweets. Yeah, I mean, he cost you 50, 60, 100% of your fab, like right out of the gate. Then he got injured, but he's just been dominant when on the field, including this past week when I thought he might be eased back in. He was not. He played more than 70% of the snaps. He had 32 touches. So let's just throw out some fun Elijah Mitchell stats. More than 86 rushing yards per game, 4.8 yards per carry, fourth in the league in rushing plays of at least 10 yards, fifth in the league in rushing plays of at least 20 yards. And now what? Well, no Deebo Samuel, meaning Mitchell can take on even more importance. Matchups upcoming against the Seahawks, the Bengals, the Falcons. We've been clamoring for the 49ers to have one workhorse running back for the past year or two. And here he is in all his glory. 10th, frankly, may be too low. Also moving up is Antonio Gibson, who moves from RB17 to RB11. If you were watching that game against Seattle, you saw Gibson on the sideline after the first drive doing some sprints, flexing his leg, and you panicked. And not that we needed the constant reminder there, but he's playing through a stress fracture in his shin, right? So we're entitled to get a little worried. Things look bleak before the bye, but in the three games since 26, 19, and 36 touches, all of them, by the way, in Washington wins. And now the Raiders, the Cowboys, the Eagles, the Cowboys, and the Eagles again. Washington is going to be in the majority of these games, and they have zero hesitation right now about giving Gibson a huge workload. And that was the concern. I mean, this isn't rocket science. When healthy and getting the work, he's basically a borderline RB1. By the way, the 7 catches on 7 targets against the Seahawks, let's see more of that, please, all right? Good signs all around for Gibson going forward. Also moving up is Josh Jacobs, who goes from RB28 to RB20. Those 24 touches that Jacobs got on Thanksgiving were great to see, and I hope a harbinger of things to come. He's continued to get work in the passing game of late, at least 4 targets in each of his previous 4 games, but his touch volume was very hit or miss, 17, 12, 14. We've got no guarantee that he's going to see those 24 touches again or anything, but with the Darren Waller injury, I'll assume they're going to want to lean on him just a little more, and he's always a threat near the goal line. The Las Vegas offense looked better against the Cowboys as they open things up a little bit. A lot of uncertainty out there, yes. Even if Jacobs doesn't get quite as much of an increased work as we hope, though, he still should offer RB2 value. Some other notable guys moving up, as you would expect, Alexander Mattison from RB45 to RB17. I don't know whether or not Dalvin Cook is going to be able to come back after the next 2 games, but I'm fading the injury concerns. He's playing with 2 torn labrums at this point. I will take Mattison. Chuba Hubbard also moves up from RB54 to RB24. Again, borderline RB2. I do expect Amir Abdullah to take some passing down work. And Jamal Williams from RB52 to RB33. He'd be much higher if we knew Swift was going to miss significant time. As it is, we only know that Swift is going to miss this game almost certainly. But he could miss longer, and Williams obviously needs to be rostered everywhere. Some running backs who are falling include all your running backs who are dealing with injuries. DeAndre Swift from RB8 to RB19. Dalvin Cook from RB5 to RB32. And Daryl Henderson, who's dealing with a quad strain, from RB10 to RB14. Again, no guarantee he's even going to miss this game this weekend, so not dropping him like a stone yet. Others moving down include Devontae Freeman from RB32 to RB36. This isn't a drastic move, but it was pretty close to an even split in terms of snaps with Freeman and Latavius Murray here in this most recent game. Freeman still dominated the touches, 16 carries in particular compared to just 9 for Murray, but Murray did get touches in the red zone and around the goal line, enough to make that, him factoring in for touchdowns, a realistic possibility. Again, this isn't a huge move, but that was enough to impact to move Freeman down just a hair. Alex Collins moves down from RB35 to RB40. I'm not really sure this needs much of an explanation, guys. The Seattle offense looks broken. The lead running back on a team that can't run the ball is not worth that much. 7 carries, 14 yards, 1 catch for 13 yards with a fumble. He hasn't gained more than 50 yards in a game in more than 5 weeks. He's just basically irrelevant right now. Rex Burkhead drops from RB40 to RB47. Part of his ranking last week was including the fact that he was starting last week against the Jets, who allowed the most fantasy points to running backs. Now that that game is over, he would have moved down slightly anyway, but he was also ineffective, again, gaining fewer than 3 yards per carry for the 2nd game in a row. He still had more touches than David Johnson, but certainly didn't shake him completely from the running back group. Burkhead is worth rostering still, yeah, but as nothing more than a bench spot for now. Finally, Zach Moss moves from RB44 to RB68. Do I really need to explain why a guy who was a healthy scratch was moved down this significantly? I don't know if he's going to suit up next week. I don't really care. You're not starting Zach Moss. You don't need to roster Zach Moss. Go ahead and move on entirely. Some wide receivers rising include Jaylen Waddle, who goes from wide receiver 22 to wide receiver 17. He obviously had a huge game against the Panthers, catching 9 passes for 137 yards with the touchdown. it doesn't seem like Will Fuller or Devontae Parker is on the verge of returning here. And how many games does he have with fewer than six targets on the season? Two. And he's got at least nine targets in four of his last five games. He is a superstar. The Dolphins are averaging 38 pass attempts per game. He has a great fantasy playoff schedule against the Jets, Saints, and Titans. There's just no reason to be afraid, even if the next couple of games and with the bye week look a little worrisome. Darnell Mooney moves up from wide receiver 30 to wide receiver 22. 16 targets, 5 catches, 122 yards with the touchdown against the Ravens. 8 targets, 5 catches, 123 yards against the Lions. Yeah, Allen Robinson has been out, then maybe it looks a little different when he's back. Maybe it looks a little different when Justin Fields is back, whenever that is. But the cat's out of the bag here with Mooney, right? He is incredibly talented. He can make things happen after the catch. And the Bears are better when they focus on him. So we can expect more of the same going forward, in my opinion. That's borderline wide receiver 2 territory. T. Higgins moves up from wide receiver 35 to wide receiver 27. Yeah, he had a season best fantasy game. And yeah, that moves Higgins up. But I think the bottom line is I had just faded him a little too far here. I mean, it gets very questionable when you get to the borderline wide receiver 3 area, like where I had him ranked last week. Still not crazy about Higgins. The offense has morphed into, you know, more of a run heavy first scheme. It's a tough schedule upcoming for wide receivers, but guys right behind him are Hunter Renfrow, Brandon Cooks, Mike Williams. It's all question marks there. So Higgins moves up a bit against still wide receiver 3, but a little bit of a higher one. Kendrick Bourne moves up from wide receiver 48 to wide receiver 37. Again, we talked about it. Patriots don't pass enough for Bourne to be able to make just this giant fantasy impact. He almost never has the huge games. He got a little lucky with the second touchdown there that the defender just basically forgot to push him out of bounds. He has more than 5 catches in the game one time, but he's got a high floor. 4 targets at least in 6 straight games. He averages 4 catches a game. He is worth a pickup as a borderline wide receiver 3 on an offense that, you know, is efficient when it does throw the ball, and he is one of the primary pass catchers in it. Some wide receivers falling include DK Metcalf from wide receiver 9 to wide receiver 18. 43, 26, 31, 13 yards over the last 4 games. 14 catches total. Quarterback that looks entirely shaken and has massive accuracy issues. An offense that goes 3 and out as often as it converts a first down. You feel like Seattle's about to go off a cliff here, right? I mean, Metcalf is an incredible talent. He's always a threat around the end zone, but that's the reason that he stays as a mid-tier wide receiver too. He certainly cannot be considered a wide receiver 1 in fantasy any longer. Mike Williams also drops from wide receiver 24 to wide receiver 30. I know we do this every single week. Truth be told, the difference between wide receiver 24 and wide receiver 32 is not a huge difference anyway. He did see 8 targets against Denver. That's 20 targets over his last 3 games. That's pretty good. But if you're a wide receiver 2, fantasy managers need to feel relatively confident that you're going to produce. There is no chance you can feel confident when you start Mike Williams. That just means he has to move down a little bit. Rashad Bateman also moves down from wide receiver 39 to wide receiver 45. Anyone notice that the Ravens have scored 10, 13, and 16 points in the last 3 games? Yeah, one of them was with Tyler Huntley, but still things are not exactly going well for that offense. And that includes the passing offense. Over his last 4 games, Bateman has 52, 80, 29, and 31 yards receiving, but the 80 yards? Almost entirely in garbage time in that loss to Miami on Thursday night. Bateman's an extreme talent, but instead of the third option on a team that passes more than you'd expect and puts up a lot of points, he's a third option on a team struggling to generate some offense. He's still a flex play like he was before, just not a great one. Cortland Sutton also moves down from wide receiver 40 to wide receiver 46. We have talked about this before too. 7 catches combined in the last 4 games, 95 total yards in those games with Jerry Jeudy back. There just aren't targets enough in a low volume pass offense. So at this point, Sutton's kind of off the radar, a very low end flex that you hope can just break one free, but you can't possibly rely on. Very quickly, some tight end and quarterback risers. Rob Gronkowski moves from tight end 8 to tight end 4. Note that if you listen to the Fantasy Pros recap show on Sunday night, I told Pat, who had Gronk rest of season at tight end 15, that I had Gronk at tight end 20 rest of season coming into the week. I don't know what I was looking at. I must have mixed up the names or something, because I did have him at 8 coming into this week. So yay for me. I am simultaneously an idiot and the smartest man alive, but 8 targets, 6 catches, 71 yards against the Saints, 10 targets, 7 catches, 123 yards against the Colts. Gronk is back with Darren Waller injured, so long as he is healthy. Rob Gronkowski is a top 4 tight end. It really is that simple. TJ Hockenson also moves up from tight end 9 to tight end 5. He did score the touchdown on Thanksgiving, but he had only three targets, so that's a little worrisome. But the addition of Josh Reynolds does seem to at least give opposing defenses something to think about other than Hockenson in that passing game. He's still fifth on the season among tight ends and targets. With Jared Goff back, you can feel a little more confident about him going forward. And again, with Darren Waller being injured, he just falls a little bit. Dawson Knox also moves up from tight end 12 to tight end 8. Only three targets here against the Saints. That's not quite what we're looking for, but the three catches for 32 yards and two touchdowns is obviously great. That comes off the heels of a 10-target, 6-catch, 80-yard game against the Colts. Not perfect. No tight ends outside of the top ones are perfect. Take the guy who has his quarterback's trust and has been a fairly reliable producer when healthy. Two quarterbacks moving up include Carson Wentz, who goes from QB 16 to QB 13, and Derek Carr, who goes from QB 18 to QB 14. Part of this is just about attrition. Ryan Tannehill can't really be started now. Russell Wilson looks cooked. Cam Newton obviously falls way down. Both Carr and Wentz can and should be reliable producers rest of the season. I'm not that worried about Darren Waller with Carr, given they did exactly what we said they needed to do, which is involve DeSean Jackson and open up the field a little more. Pretty good matchups going forward. Neither one of them is stars, but both of them are reliable and borderline QB1s. Some fallers in my rest of season rankings for tight ends include Kyle Pitts, who falls from tight end 5 to tight end 9. Talked about this a lot already. It's very simple. You just can't rely on him right now with the way defenses are focusing on him. They're just shading extra attention to him. Every single route he runs, it's hard for him to break loose. Matt Ryan does not have the arm, and they don't have other receiving threats in that offense to make him pay. So, you know, at this point, yeah, you want to start Dawson Knox over him? That's what I'd be doing on a weekly basis. Mike Gesicki also falls from tight end 7 to tight end 10. He's just obviously not that reliable at the moment. 67 total yards over his last three games. Others are moving up at this point. So, you know, Gesicki has gone from a guy who you knew you could stick in your lineup and would get the targets and the production to a guy who you feel the opposite with. So, again, other reliable options move past him. Matthew Stafford falls from QB 4 to QB 9. Again, he is banged up. I do buy that. I don't think it's perfect or anything like that. But he's also got injuries to his skill players. We talked, Daryl Henderson has the quad. Odell Beckham Jr. has the hip. So he's gimping around. Of course, we are missing, you know, Robert Woods already. So there's just, you know, some worries here with the Rams. And again, you've got a lot of strong quarterbacks like Aaron Rodgers, who's playing extremely well. Of course, you have Tom Brady. You know, Jalen Hurts is still, you know, up there and doing fine. Justin Herbert is fine. So, you know, even with some of these question marks around them, I have fewer with them than I do with Stafford. Finally, Cam Newton falls from QB 13 to QB 25. You don't need an explanation for this. That was an historically terrible performance. His job security has to be, you know, barely holding on by a thread. So, I mean, you want to start him fine in a two quarterback league, but that's about it. All right, that's going to do it for today's show. Don't forget to go to tickpick.com/pros, where TickPick and Zip have teamed up to give away 5 season ticket NFL packages for the 2022 season. Thanks for listening, everybody. I'll talk to you again tomorrow morning.